We are in our third message. If you have been here for all three of them, thank you for taking time to be at each one of them. If you were not here yesterday to hear it, or last Sunday, they are all on our website. So you can always go to hopecommunitywaterford.net, go to the message area, and you can watch them or listen to them. I think it's pretty cool that you can do that, catch up on the fly. Most of you have a smartphone, and you can do that even while you're driving or you're somewhere else, right? You can listen to them, and so we're grateful for Andy and his team that always put that stuff together. So we've been in this series, All I Want for Christmas. If you could have one thing, if you could only have one thing, what would it be? And so I'm really praying that in this last message that it will drive home the point that we probably already have what it is that we truly need most, and that's Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you don't have him yet, maybe tonight will be the night that you receive the greatest gift that you could ever receive, and that's his forgiveness and his salvation. So in week number one, we talked about a week ago Sunday, basically the idea of a dream team. And we talked about that when our dreams get shattered, that God does more than simply pick up the pieces, right? So we kind of began the story of Joseph and Mary and how they were engaged. They were looking forward to spending time together and beginning a family when all of a sudden Mary says, I'm going to have a baby, and the baby Joseph knew was not his. And so he was a just man. He was a holy man. He wanted to do the right thing, but he couldn't see himself being with her because he believed, no doubt, that she was lying about where the baby was coming from. Her story went something like this. I'm pregnant. The child was given to me by God. It's the Son of God. How many of you would say, I'm not buying that story either? But it took a dream, and God showed Joseph that that truly was the case, and then he willingly became a participant in becoming the foster dad, if you will, for baby Jesus as he came into this world. And then in week two, we talked about the gift that keeps on giving. That was yesterday. And the idea of yesterday's message was basically that all of us are going to give a gift to Jesus this year. We just maybe don't know it yet. All of us are going to give a gift to Jesus. Just like the three wise men gave gifts to Jesus, all of us are going to give a gift to Jesus this holiday season. It's either going to be things that are really, really good or something that's really, really, really bad. We're either going to give him our hostility, our disregard, or our worship. So tonight we're going to talk about give peace a chance. Give peace a chance. And so many of you took part in the survey that we did on Facebook. We're going to show the results in a little bit, but I want to remind you of I didn't want to show the results yet. But anyways, go ahead, put it up. We'll rehash it. Go ahead, Andy, put it back up. So we asked this question, in what area of your world do you most desire peace? And there were four different options, right? So as you think about this time of the year, it always kind of drives home this idea of peace. Because that's one of the things that Jesus said that he came to bring was peace. So we'll talk a little bit more about the results in just a moment. But let's turn to God's word. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to pick up the story right where we left off yesterday. All right. So Matthew chapter 2. And I want you to know that we're looking to the story that we find in Matthew's gospel because we believe that the gospel of Matthew was inspired by God. We believe that this is not just the account of Jesus' birth and early days into this world through the lens of human beings, but that God supernaturally allowed those who were writing it to know in detail what they should say, and that we can trust it. I remember many, many years ago, I was spending a little bit of time with one of my cousins, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and so he was back in town, he was living in another state, and he was catching up with a lot of the family members that we have, because most of the Woodies, at least the ones we know of, live right here close to us, and he was telling me how he had connected with our grandma Woody. And Zella had been a believer for many, 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 many years. At this time, she's probably in her late 80s, maybe early 90s. And he said, you know, Grandma was telling me about a conversation that she just had with her sister, how she had just got off the phone. And this is so amazing. He said, Grandma has a sister. I believe she was 96 years of age at the time, and she was totally blind. But she said, I would spend time reading my sister the Bible over the phone. As often as we would talk, I would open up the Bible and I would read the Bible. And she said, as of right now, She said, I think we're only two books shy of me reading the entire New Testament to my sister. What a great gift, isn't that? I mean, so we can never go wrong with just letting God's word speak for itself. Because I can't convince you to become a Christian. I can't convince you that this story is true. But God can as we look to his word. So we're going to share just a brief message with you today. We want to look, first of all, at Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and consider this a hasty escape. All right, so we're just on the heels of the wise men who came. They gave Jesus gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And now they are exiting, and the story is going to continue. It says, now when they had departed, the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So, first of all, we see a conflict that is taking place here. We see the goodness of an adopted dad, a spiritual-minded dad, who in spite of the circumstances and how difficult it must have been for him to undertake being a dad in this way, he willingly did it. He didn't reluctantly do it. He willingly did it. When he knew that it was God's will and God's plan, he did everything and anything that was necessary in order to secure this sweet, precious baby Jesus. Think of that, that he was given the care of the Son of God, but he wasn't given that care all alone, because God the Father was surely watching out for Jesus as well, as we certainly see here. Once again, God conveys his message, his direction, through a dream. Now, we can't always trust our dreams, and I'll be honest with you, last night I had one of the worst dreams I've ever had in my life. And I'm not going to tell you about it, but we can't always trust our dreams. But I will say this, sometimes God allows dreams to happen because we are not paying attention while we're awake. I'm convinced of that. And so first and foremost, we should look to God's word. He's written his word. That should be the staple food, our diet. But sometimes God conveys his will to us in other ways, and he did once again to Joseph. And he instructed him to take the baby, not back to where they would live, but to another country. Can you imagine that? Imagine fleeing your country, going away from anything and all the people that you knew. But he did it. And the scripture says that they got up in the middle of the night and they did it. It's almost as if they were fugitives, but they were not. Innocent baby Jesus had to be taken by Joseph and Mary into another country simply because of a power-hungry leader, Herod, who had heard that this was the one who was born the king of the Jews. And he feared. He feared for his throne. This fulfills a prophecy that we see in the book of Hosea, that out of Egypt God would call his son. Many, many years before this, it was prophesied that this would take place. So first of all, we see a hasty escape. Second of all, we see the casualties of war. The casualties of war. Look at verses 16 through 18. It says, and Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So what a great, great tragedy we have here. But I want you to get this picture in your minds that this is not just one human being pitted against another human being. This is literally, my friends, this is war. This is cosmic war. This is God having his plan put in place in a miraculous way. Jesus would come into this world. He would be given to the care of a young, loving couple. And here we have a powerful king wanting to take baby Jesus' life. So those of you that were here last Sunday, you recall that the wise men were told basically when the baby was born was dependent upon where the star was at the time they saw it, right? And so they traveled where it was that Jesus was to be born, and God had led them strategically there. But those who should have been with them did not go. They were not concerned with where Jesus was at, but King Herod was. Not because he wanted to worship him, but because he wanted to take his life. And I know this is a tough subject for little ones to hear, and so I'm going to try and be very, very careful. But let me tell you, friends, that any time we play the game of life, there's always casualty of war. There's always going to be casualties of war. Even in those times when America has had to defend our sovereignty, when we have had to allow our men and women to be in harm's way, like many of them are right now, there are always going to be casualties of war, and we see that here. We see that in the process of Herod trying to eliminate baby Jesus, all baby boys 2 years and under in that area were all put to death. But I want you to notice something interesting in verse number 18 at the end of the verse. As these mothers are weeping for their children that have died senselessly, the Bible says that they're doing so because they are no more. But let me say to you that that does not mean that they are no more as in existence. It just simply means that they are no more right there with mom and dad. Because I believe that these innocent children, the very second that their life was taken, awoke in the presence of God. Because I believe God is merciful to those who are innocent, to those who are unaware of who Jesus is. And so we see this casualty of war, a war that Mary and Joseph did not sign up for, but they find themselves right in the middle of it. Can you imagine having to be in a foreign country, away from your family, not knowing how long it would be? Third, we see a necessary inconvenience. A necessary inconvenience, beginning at verse number 19. The scripture says, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead.' Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there," because Archelaus was a cruel dude. I mean, he was cruel. He would put people to death, innocent people, and so he was afraid, literally. It says, "And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" So we don't truly understand from the text exactly how long Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus had to be in Egypt, but you can imagine it felt like a long time. I mean, have you ever been in a place that you didn't want to be, and you had no idea when the end game would come into play? It's a difficult, difficult thing, but they waited. They waited patiently until the threat was removed. Now, here's a thought that I often think about when I'm rehashing this Christmas story. Why didn't God just choose to eliminate the threat from the get-go? I mean, if God knew that Herod would want to take the life of his son, why wouldn't God just take Herod out? It's a pretty decent question to ponder, isn't it? I wish that I had the answer for that. But all I know is this, that God is sovereign. And there are sometimes reasons why God allows things that are good to take place and allows things that are not so good to take place. And right now, we may not fully understand them. But God, no doubt, was teaching Mary and Joseph the importance of trusting him. Do you trust him in the hard times of your life? Do you trust him when it seems like you're in a waiting pattern? When you want to take off and fly and get on with the rest of your life, but you just can't seem to make sense of where you're at or how long you're going to be there? No doubt Mary and Joseph felt that way. But eventually, in God's perfect time, Herod's life came to an end, as do all of ours. And when his life was over, God began to put into play what would begin to be the life of Jesus growing up. Growing up as someone who would be called a Nazarene. He would grow up. He would have friends. He would learn, just like all the other little boys in his town did, what it would be to be a young man, to be a grown-up, to be responsible. He would accept responsibility that was given to him from his mom and his stepdad. Can you imagine that? Or his adopted dad? Can you imagine that? Almighty God, and your adopted dad tells you it's time to go to bed. It's like, dude, do you not realize that I created this world? Without me, there's nothing. But he submitted himself to all of those. He willingly allowed those things to take place. So think about this. This time, the father provided an exit plan. But 30 plus years later, he would not. Jesus would become our substitute. He would die in our place and pay the penalty for our sin and our disobedience. So I want to take you to our survey results and just kind of look at these for just a minute because they really do strike a pretty significant chord. You see, I would dare say that most of the people who took this survey are Christians because it was our church Facebook page. But again, we asked the question, in what area of your world do you most desire peace? Look at the answer, the fourth response. Between the warring political factions, 0%. Nobody. So it's like nobody believes that it's possible that Democrats and Republicans and independents and whoever will ever come to a place of consensus and agree to disagree and move forward together as a nation. Nobody said, I'm really seeking peace between me and God, perhaps again because these are Christians who took it, some of you. But look at the two responses that did have a favorable answer, and that was 12% said between me and someone I hurt or who hurt me. And that's often a tough thing, and maybe that's a place where you're at right now, where you're struggling to make sense of what someone has done to you or what you've done, and it's just, truth be told, the longer time goes between the event and present day, it's all the harder for things to be dealt with. But I believe that God gives you the ability and gives me the ability to deal with things even though they're hard. But the one that stands out is that 88% of the people who did this survey said, the area where I am hoping for peace the most is between someone that I love and my Savior who I love. That there would be peace, that there would be reconciliation, that there would be a way for that person to understand who Jesus truly is. And I remember so vividly being a young man at the age of 16 and hearing the gospel for the very first time and hearing who Jesus truly was. Before that, he was only a swear word to me. And becoming a follower of Jesus and how it changed my life. And so today we celebrate. We celebrate Jesus and what he has done for us. And he's done some amazing things. So I just want to just quickly share three things, and then we're going to watch a really awesome video that I trust that you will like. So this special son has done three things for us. Number one, he has brokered peace between us and God. He's brokered peace between us and God. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, verse number 14, the Bible says as the angels are proclaiming and praising God as the birth of Jesus is being announced to the world. Verse 14 says, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So I want you to know that if you're here and you feel as if God is your enemy, he is not. God is your friend. And God came in the person of his son, so that there could be reconciliation between God and you. You see, the Bible says that sin separates us from God, but Jesus is the bridge because Jesus would pay for our sin. This special son has brokered peace between us and God. Second of all, this special son has promised us peace from God. As Jesus is talking to his disciples in John chapter 20, the Bible says that that Jesus' disciples are gathered together and the crucifixion has already taken place. Jesus has been in the tomb for 3 days, and then all of a sudden the ladies who come to anoint his body realize the tomb is empty. And then there begins to be stories of Jesus appearing to his disciples, to his followers. And so here all of the disciples are gathered together, and in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. You see, Jesus came not only so that there could be peace between us and God, but so that we could have peace from God. That is, no matter what you have going on in your life, at any stretch of the road for you, that God promises that his presence will be with us, that we can have peace that will allow us to endure the most difficult of days. And I don't know what that looks like for you going forward, and that might be a scary thought, but here's what I know. As I look back at some of the rough days of my life, I can truly say that God has given me his peace, a peace that passes understanding. Can't always understand what has happened or why, but I've trusted God and he sustained me through them. So not only does this special son broker peace between us and God, promised us peace from God, but he's also assured our peaceful future with God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. This is the picture in heaven as the saints are gathered there together with the Father. It says, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more crying, nor sorrow, nor death. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. You see, right now, what we are provided by way of peace is we can have peace with God. We can have internal peace. There's a day coming, my friends, when we're going to have external peace. When threats and war and violence and sickness and funeral homes and poor diagnosis resulting in loss of life or difficulties will be no more. Think of that. So, as we wrap up the message tonight, no better way to do it than to allow some wonderful, special children to show us just how special Jesus is to all of us. Isn't that sweet? So as we wrap up the message today, I just have a closing thought for you, and it's this. Is there peace in your soul? Is there peace between you and God? Because it's a peace that's available to every single one of us. Jesus bridged the divide between us and the Father, between his perfection and our imperfection, between his righteousness and our unrighteousness. And Jesus made a way for you. It's like he made a way for me. So if you're here tonight and you don't yet know him, and maybe this is the first time you've heard anything like this, we would be privileged to continue this story with you at another time or even after service.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.